Next item on the agenda, item number 16, pursuant to section 28.2826 of the Code of Virginia, to accept comments on the proposal of the Virginia Seafood Council to place the non-native oyster Cress Austria area Kansas in state waters. Mr. Travelstead.
This is not a regulatory public hearing. This is the hearing that is required by the code section that the commissioner just mentioned. And if you'll look at that section, you'll note that the commissioner is provided the sole authority to make decisions on the introduction of the area Kansas oyster into the tidal waters of Virginia. But that decision must be preceded by a public hearing held by the commission to obtain public comment on those proposals. That's what we're doing here today. In fact, the hearing must occur at least 30 days, but not more than 60 days before the commissioner makes his decision on the proposal. So with that in mind, the commissioner cannot make a decision on this proposal until the end of March, but no later than the end of April. And we will continue to collect comments on the proposal up until that time. There's no requirement that you vote on the proposal, although you're certainly entitled to, and you can certainly offer comments to the commissioner today or at any time during the public comment period. But your responsibility here today is to hold a public hearing to allow the public to speak on the issue. And we've done this a number of times, as you know. The proposal before you is not terribly different from the last couple of proposals that have been presented to you by the Seafood Council, all of which have been approved by the commissioner with a set of conditions that are outlined on page 2 of the staff evaluation. I won't go through those. They're fairly self-explanatory. There is, of course, also the requirement that the Seafood Council procure the appropriate federal permits, which I understand they are now in the process of doing. We do have two comment letters that I'll submit for the record. The first is from the Chesapeake Bay Foundation, Tom Leggett. And the second is from Dr. Wells, Virginia Institute of Marine Science. I should have mentioned that same code section requires the commissioner to consult with the director of VIMS prior to making his decision, and the letter I just handed you is the result of that consultation. I believe Dr. Mann is also here, who can speak in more detail with respect to VIMS' opinion on the proposal, if you'd like him to. I think that's all I'm going to say, unless you have questions, and we can open it up to the public.
Okay. Any questions of Mr. Travelstead? All right. Thank you, Jack. This is a public hearing. We'll give the Virginia Seafood Council or their representative the first opportunity to speak. Ms. Porter, good to have you here, ma'am.
Commissioner Bowman and Associate Commissioners, I am Frances Porter of Virginia Seafood Council, and for the new commission members, let me explain that Virginia Seafood Council is a trade association, nonprofit, and incorporated, which represents the interests of the commercial fishing industry in Virginia. And membership is composed of seafood packers, processors, shippers, harvesters, and aquaculturists. I am here to request permission to conduct a 2007 industry project with the non-native oyster Cress Austria area Kansas. The goal of each of our projects since 2000 has been to determine the viability of area Kansas as a complement to the native Virginia oyster. The ultimate purpose is to restore the ecological role of oysters in the bay and the economic role of a commercial oyster fishery in the Commonwealth. We have, in fact, established reliable markets for the area Kansas, and we need to continue this project in 2007 to provide sufficient supply for the markets this coming year. When our 2003 project was permitted by both the Commission and the federal government, the National Academy of Sciences was completing a review of Maryland and Virginia's interest in Crassostrea eriacensis. Findings from the review in August 2003 called for an environmental impact statement. From the fall, or from August of 2003 until today, preparation of the EIS has been ongoing 3.5 years. We have been assured that a draft EIS will be available in May or June of this year. A public comment period will follow, and a final environmental impact statement will hopefully be released by the end of 2007. Virginia Seafood Council has been ardently seeking solutions to a declining oyster resource since 1990. In 16 years, there have been steadily declining oyster harvest without a new resource that is permitted in the bay. In both 2003 and 2005, we placed 1 million oysters at 10 sites in the bay. In 2006, you granted permission, and so did the feds, to place 1.5 million oysters in a one-year grow out at 15 sites in the bay. Now, as the 2006 project concludes, there are still no guidelines from an EIS to allow a commercial industry to develop with non-native oysters. Consequently, I am once again asking for a permit for a one-year grow-out of triploid eriacensis, and the proposal, as Jack said, is almost identical to last year's. With each project, we have gained more information. We have grown more confident that this is a good choice of an oyster for the Chesapeake Bay. It's important to note that Dr. Stan Allen is able to provide genetically sterilized oysters, which are disease and parasite-free. The eriacensis has proven to be resistant to dermo and MSX, that it grows rapidly, far outpacing the native oyster. We've also learned that there is a high demand for this product in the marketplace, and we have been continually providing information about the oyster to the environmental impact statement, primarily about egg growing experiences. It's important to note that Virginia Seafood Council members conducting these projects have been creative, cooperative, instructive, and exceedingly conscientious, and we are proud of our performance and our successes. You are aware of the intense scrutiny from federal, state, and environmental agencies that the projects have survived. We have been conscientious to address not only issues of production, but matters of security, ecological impacts, and regulatory controls. In fact, that's particularly noteworthy. With each permit, there have been more conditions, more regulations, more safety provisions, more cost, more record keeping. Virginia Seafood Council, in conjunction with VIMS and VMRC, has met every single condition, followed every guideline, communicated openly about each step of the project, and we have done so without even a hint of an environmental accident, any loss of oysters, and with very low mortality. We have been, individually and collectively, excellent stewards of the project and the product. This year, at the encouragement of Colonel Aninos, we have begun early to meet with representatives of U.S. Fish and Wildlife, the Chesapeake Bay Office of the Environmental Protection Agency, and the Corps of Engineers to discuss the proposal and the permit. NOAA has at this date not been a part of these discussions, but they have been briefed on each discussion. I think you know U.S. Fish and Wildlife is the keeper of the risk model regarding possible inadvertent reproduction. The model, imperfect as models are, has suggested sites where reproduction could most likely occur at this time. Relocation of those sites has been discussed with the federal agencies, and we are prepared to relocate sites at Chincoteague, Accomack, and Kinsale if necessary. There is a question about how far the site should be moved up or down the river, and according to Fish and Wildlife, there is no data available, no formula to determine that distance. So we are continuing to communicate and negotiate daily with the federal agencies to find a resolution to this subject. Our early meetings this year with the feds have been favorable to the 2007 project with concessions about locations. Some new issues have arisen since we provided up-to-date harvest records, and again, we will continue to negotiate with the feds. Somehow, it feels to me that we are being penalized for doing our job well. On another subject, in every discussion with the federal agents, they question us about native Virginia oysters, and they want us to grow more native Virginia oysters. Our permits have required us to grow some native oysters at every site for purposes of comparison. As you know, there is a new Virginia oyster in the mix, a triploid virginica, which is being grown aquaculturally by numerous industry members and by the Chesapeake Bay Foundation. It is, in fact, being grown on a fairly large scale by at least five of our project participants. We are pleased with the success of that oyster and hope that it can maintain its health and growth to market size. I do not know at this time if it has actually withstood the stress of a long, hot, dry summer in which dermo and MSX become prevalent in the bay. Ultimately, as I said in the beginning, we hope the area Kansas and the Virginica can be complementary resources, restoring the vital ecological benefits to the bay and supplying a commercial industry with hundreds of thousands of bushels of marketable oysters. And so, as we await the outcome of the environmental impact statement, we respectfully request your permission to conduct another commercial project almost identical to the 2006 project, beginning June 2007. A few of our growers are present in the room and would answer questions if you had specific questions for them. Our new project manager, James Kirkpatrick, James, would you stand? Is here and available to answer questions or supply data. A.J. Erskine, our former project manager and now an industry member growing the oysters commercially, is present and prepared to answer questions. VIMS is represented by Dr. Roger Mann, who will speak to you next. And Mr. Bowman, I would like to reserve the right to speak to the commission again today, if necessary, in response to public comment.
I can assure you will be afforded that opportunity if necessary, Ms. Porter. Thank you, ma'am.
Any questions
from Ms. Porter?
Mr.
Holland.
How many horses do you plan to put in 2007?
Well, we are asking for a permit to put in 1.5 million with 15 growers. At this time, I have only 13 growers. If there are two more growers, you will have to you'll have to accept those.
Right. Any other questions? Thank you, Ms. Porter.
I have a question.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Tank.
That's all right, sir. And you talked about the native oyster. How many native oysters will we also put in?
Oh, I don't.
10,000.
So 1,000 at each, though. Well, that's not even 1,000 at each, though.
10,000.
Oh, 10,000 at each site. Oh, okay. Sorry.
Great.
Right.
Thank you. Jack, on the evaluation that you have, just to make sure we got the record straight, check item 1 of page 2 on that date, if you would.
These are the page 2 of a list of the current conditions.
These are the current conditions.
That's yeah, fine. So the oysters have to come out by June 1st of this year.
Of the current conditions.
Right, right. For the current project. We would propose the same types of conditions at a minimum on this project. There may be other things that come
up. Just to make sure that the type was correct. Thank you. Public hearing is still open. Anyone else like to speak? Pro or con? Dr. Mann. Good afternoon, sir.
Commissioner Bowman, members of the commission, as ever, it's always a pleasure to come and talk to you on these issues.
Pleasure to have you here.
I have here the official signed copy of the document that you have in fax form. I don't wish to take too much of your time, but there are a couple of lines on this that I wish to read because they really sort of state where we are. The first one relates to the actions of the Seafood Council over the past years. They have proven to be remarkable, good partners and stewards of the environment. They have done everything that has been asked of them by the federal agencies, by this commission, and by VIMS. You could not wish for a better partner.
And I couldn't concur more.
When Frances says that we will play the game here, she really means it. The last paragraph of this, written by Dr. Wells, I support the approval of the proposal as submitted. As in previous trials, VIMS faculty and staff remain available to the Seafood Council and the Commission to advise in the implementation of the proposed trials to assure the maintenance of biosecurity, maximize collection of appropriate data, and evaluation of the proposal's stated goals. We are very much part of this. We intend to remain very much part of this. This proposal will go to the Chesapeake Bay Ad Hoc panel. I am the Virginia representative to that panel. It is my intent to take the statement that is in this and support it in front of that panel, to work with those federal agencies should they need any more education as to why I think this is a worthwhile thing to do, and to basically work with them if they have any problems with such things as the risk model, to try to show why I think this is a well-rounded project. As you know, at VIMS, we have many people who have differing opinions about this particular project. When the proposal was sent to me by the commissioner, I distributed it amongst my colleagues. Not a single one of them found an objection to it. In the scientific community, that's truly remarkable. I will not take your time today. I remain available to the commissioner, members of the commission, and to the staff to work on this until such time as you so wish to make a decision on it. So I will deliver this to you, and at that point, if there are any questions, I will be happy to entertain them.
Any questions of Dr. Mann? Thank you so very much. Roger, if you would, please extend my sincere appreciation to everyone at VIMS for their assistance during my first 7 months here. You've been great and wonderful to work with, and it's really a good working relationship. I'm glad to have you all as my partner.
It's a pleasure, sir.
Thank you. Ms. Porter, did you wish to speak more? Just for the record, I can only tell you that I will be making a decision in accordance with prescribed law and will be informing you of the decision. You'll be the first to know. Thank you, ma'am. Next item on the agenda.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir.
I note in 28.2-826 that perhaps your decision on this issue, if called upon next year, may be more difficult because on or after the 1st of July 2007, you could be called upon to decide on whether the trial can go on utilizing diploids instead of triploids. However, this trial is triploids, and only triploids would be allowed before July 1, 2000.
You're very astute, Mr. Fox. That's there as well as a couple other different issues that deal with productive and different types of species.
Right.
But you are very much right on the target.
Not that I'm recommending diploid.
Just advising.
Thank you.
I would, if you want my opinion, I would recommend that you support this proposal as presented, though.
Why don't we wait till we get closer to that date and we'll take it out. The next item on the agenda, item number 17, blue crab, request for adoption of emergency regulation to open the blue crab potting season March 19, and request for public hearing to expand blue crab spawning sanctuary and eliminate the prohibition of harvest of dark sponge crabs. Will it be Mr. Trout?
I'll comment to Mr. Fox real briefly while Joe sets this up. That's precisely why we're so interested in this EIS getting done as soon as possible because of that July 1 date. So. Okay. The Crab Management Advisory Committee has been fairly busy over the last several months looking at a variety of issues for their fishery. For many of them, they have yet to come to any conclusions, and so we do expect them to continue to meet in the months ahead to hopefully resolve those issues. But there have been a couple of items where they feel like they have enough information to move forward. The first of which is a request to open the crab season 2 weeks early this year. For a number of years now, the management plan for blue crab calls for an April 1 a season start for crab potting and an end to crab dredging on that day as well. The committee believes that by opening the season a couple of weeks early, you prevent the flooding of markets that seemed to occur last year that resulted in fishermen being put on limits by buyers and being told not to work certain days of the week. They're hoping this will spread the catch out over a little bit longer period of time, allow the price to stay up, and those buyer-imposed limits not occur. The question is whether or not opening 2 weeks early will result in a substantial increase in the harvest. We don't think that will happen. First of all, it appears to be a fairly cold winter. We don't see water temperatures warming up that quickly, at least based on what we've seen over the last 6 weeks. The other evidence we look at is what you see on the screen, and that is the catches by crab dredge. If the crab dredge fishery were very large the last 2 weeks in March, and you piled a crab pot season on top of that, we would have some concerns. But, you know, we look back through a number of years, and we just don't see it. If you look at crab dredge harvest during the month of March, as you proceed through that month, it gets smaller and smaller. And then again, depending upon water temperature, the crab pot fishery comes in April 1, but, you know, it may not pick up until a few days later. This is 2006 data. Whoop. Not sure what happened, Joe. Yeah, there's 05. All of these, I don't think you need to look at every year, but they all pretty much show the same type of thing, with crab dredging being almost nil by the time you get to the last 2 weeks, and then depending upon whether how the crab pot fishery takes off. Whether or not this results in the benefits to industry is really up in the air. A lot of the buyers or processors of crabs tell us that they may not even have their labor in place at the crab picking houses 2 weeks early. And so even if we open the season 2 weeks early, there may not be the markets there that some people anticipate. There could be, but it's just not certain. So we don't see it as a terribly big issue. Most everyone in industry that we've talked to, including the Crab Advisory Committee, seems to support it. Early on in the discussions, there was some opposition from the crab dredge fishermen, but mostly the result of confusion. They thought when we wanted to open the crab pot season early that we were going to close their season early, and that's not what we're proposing. We're only talking about affecting the potting season. When they heard that, they withdrew their concerns. We did get phone calls from Jeff Crockett, who's the president of the Tangier Watermen's Association, yesterday. He supports, and his organization supports, the early opening. We did get a call from Lewis Whitaker, who is a crab fisherman and crab shedder, and he opposed the early opening. It was a phone call I did not take. He didn't offer a reason as to his opposition, but just wanted his opposition to be noted to the commission. It will take an emergency regulation to open the season early because we've not advertised this. Now, recognizing that that was the case, several weeks ago, I did send a letter to the presidents of all 16 watermen's associations making them aware that this issue would be on the commission's agenda today and asking them to attend today if they had any concerns, or at least to give us a call to share those with us. So while it's not an official public hearing, we did try to get the word out to the main organization so that they could be aware and fishermen could start to prepare their gear for an early season in the event that you approved it. But it would take an emergency regulation to do that today. There are a number of regulations that relate to the opening of crab pot season that also have to be modified by emergency. There is a regulation that establishes a daily limit of 51 bushels that has the April 1 as a start date. That needs to be backed up to the earlier date. There's also another regulation that prevents fishermen from setting fish pots early, just prior to the opening of the crab pot season, because we had problems in previous years with fishermen setting fish pots and then on the opening day of crab pot season relicensing them as crab pots already full of crabs, so they'll have a harvest that first day. So we've got to change that regulation as well if we decide to go with this emergency route. The other issue that the committee has come to a conclusion on is the sponge crab issue, and we've talked to you about this before. There is evidence now, as a result of some work by Dr. Ron Lipsius at VIMS, that the regulation that protects the dark-colored sponge crab is not having the beneficial effects that we think it has. That, in fact, the harvesting and culling process of sponge crabs results in significant mortality of, at a minimum, the sponge that contains the larval crabs attached to the female, and in some cases the female crab itself dies as a result of this process. The committee is asking that regulation be repealed but replaced by a new measure. We know that the protection on dark-colored sponge crabs has some benefit because fishermen that find themselves in an area where the dark-colored sponge crabs predominate, rather than going through the trouble of every day having to sort those crabs out of their catch, will simply leave the area and stop fishing there. That has some benefit for the crabs because they're never harvested. And so it makes sense if there are areas where we know there are large quantities of dark-colored sponge crabs and we lift the regulation protecting them, we may in fact be encouraging a new fishery on those crabs that we would not want to see happen. And that's the case that we have found ourselves in with the area off the city of Virginia Beach, the 3-mile limit that stretches from Cape Henry at the mouth of the bay south to the Carolina line. We know there are a large number of the dark-colored sponge crabs in that area. There's no evidence, based on our mandatory reports, of fishing in that area during the closed season. And as a result of that, the advisory committee recommended that if you lift the protection on dark-colored sponge crabs, that you close the area off Virginia Beach. Now, on this issue, we're not asking, obviously, that you take action today, but that you approve a public hearing in March to consider that at public hearing and action. So there are two issues, one that involves emergency action for a couple of regulations, and then approval of a public hearing on the sponge crab issue.
Let's do like we did earlier. Let's flip it around and decide we're going to advertise for public hearing. You've heard Mr. Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would offer a motion that we advertise a March public hearing to repeal the dark sponge crab regulation and expand the existing crab sanctuary southward along the Virginia Beach coast to the Virginia-North Carolina line.
Is there a second to the motion? Second by Mr. Holland. Jack, did you have any further discussion before we proceed?
One quick item. Yes, sir. Yet another regulation that deals with opening the season early, and that is the 8-hour workday regulation also has dates in it that correspond to April 1. So
let's get to public hearing. Then all in favor of the motion, public hearing, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. I'm sorry, Mr. Fox.
I have a question.
Go ahead.
If we do the public hearing late in March, and then we do an emergency regulation to allow potters to catch crabs in March, then they will be catching crabs off of Virginia Beach in March before the public hearing. Is that correct?
But
yes. But the protection on sponge crabs is a summertime protection. You don't find spawning crabs.
Okay. Dr. McConaughey?
Just a point of clarification. You don't find sponge crabs usually until about June 1st.
Okay.
Last year was a little earlier, but it's still the middle of May. So
but a good point,
okay.
Mr. Fox, yeah. Actually.
All right, so it's not a problem.
It's not a problem.
All right.
Okay, now we're back to the emergency regulation to open crab pot season and the associated regulations that go with it. Jack, you said you'd ask the president of the Watermen's Association. I see some active working watermen here. Anyone want to comment on this matter at this point? Mr. Jenkins, couldn't see you behind the monitor. Come on up, sir. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon. Doug Jenkins, representing Twin River Watermen Association. Our association is in favor of this early opening. With the water temperatures and the ice we've had in our area, I don't think it's going to make a whole lot of difference, but we can't control the climate. It may warm up, and we may be able. I know last year we was hurting by other states glutting our market, and we had crabs that we could catch and couldn't catch them.
Doug, let me ask you a question.
Yes, sir.
Considering what we know to be the, as you said, we cannot right now impact or affect the water temperatures and things like that. My only concern is, based on what we have here in front of us today, as far as the water temperatures being cold, and as you said, it may not even impact. We've got a lot of regulations that we need to modify along with this two-week early opening.
Mm-hmm.
From a confusion perspective and from a working waterman's perspective, is it really worth it, do you think, to go ahead and do this at this point this year? That's my real concern and question.
Well,
because I don't want to confuse the water.
I would do it this year and let it continue. I 2 weeks there, I don't whether some of y'all realize it or not, particularly Tonk River fisheries and Maryland fishers have a whole lot laxer regulations on their crab fishing than Virginia does. They don't. You can crab all day long on the Tonk River, and you don't have a bushel limit either. So what we're doing, what I say we, is y'all, the Chesapeake Bay, VMRC, us, or who, however you want to phrase it, you holding us back and letting the others go to it. in layman's terms.
I just don't want to do anything.
No, you're not going to do what I would recommend, and I know Jack and him probably won't go along with it, is when you change that regulation on the time frame, instead of making it 8 hours, make it 9. That way we can get a little, some of us can get an hour extra sleep in the morning. And on a foggy day, we wouldn't have to be out there running into each other, endangering our lives, you know.
All getting left this morning till 11 o'clock.
I know. But some mountains you can't see your buddies. And especially in latter March and April. So that 1 hour really, you know, and I've talked to Jack with this in years past, and I couldn't get much out of him then. I don't know if I get anything out of him now or not. But, I mean, why are you changing that thing? It really be simple to do it.
Points well made, Doug. Thank you. Anyone else want to speak to this issue?
I'm going to speak to it.
Okay. The public or the hearing's closed. Matters before the commission for discussion.
I'm part of the public hearing, too, because I'm one of the presidents who was notified.
However you want to call it.
Okay.
Mr. Matters, to me.
I've had discussion with Mr. Robbins, and he wants it to be neutral far as any increase in harvest. you know, the controlling factor of harvest now is market. At one time it might have been effort, but right now it's just market is the controlling factor. You can't sell crab very often. As far as the water temperature issues, yes, it's cold now, but we have a lot of shallow places up in creeks and on the seaside and stuff that can warm up very rapidly. If you get warm temperatures and you're in 3 foot of water, it can warm up quick. I think everybody I've talked to is very supportive. The only complaint I've heard is it's not early enough. And I have a suggestion along those lines, too, and I discussed it with Mr. Travelstead and Joe, too. When you have an opening date of Monday, really you have an opening date of Tuesday for the people who want to be completely honest, because they'll be putting their pot there Monday and fishing them Tuesday. But you're going to have some people who want to skirt the law, and they're going to put theirs out Sunday. And it's almost impossible for law enforcement to catch everyone. And if Virginia is a very large state and a very limited number of people in all these small coats, my suggestion would be open season on Saturday, even if we don't allow harvest on Saturday, so people can put their pots in the water and have them in the water catching crabs first day of season, so they can go to their pots and start on the first day instead of the second day. And when it comes time, I would like to make a motion in that form on the emergency.
So what you're saying, instead of it being March 19th?
19th, it would be the 17th. The letter we received in the mail said the 18th, but it was a typo. So, I mean, you know, everybody was confused. Why would you open a Sunday on a season on a Sunday when you're not allowed to crab on a Sunday?
Get up
so, I mean, if people went out and put the crab pots over Sunday, they would be illegal regardless.
Got law enforcement coming out in there. What are you going to say?
You want me to raise that if you handle it properly.
Anybody? Back to further comment.
Mr.
Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As Mr. Bowden pointed out, the one concern I have just relates to, I want to make sure that I would like to be conservation neutral in terms of whatever actions we take. And that's part of what's behind that trade-off in the sanctuaries on the black sponge regulation that we're advertising for next month. The one concern I do have is how much effort is there really going to be in this two-week period? And is that going to have an impact on the resource? I mean, the crab resource is at a relatively low level, and I'm just generally concerned about it. But having said that, I think if we did it this year, I realize we have to do an emergency at this point. I regret that. It's taken the crab committee quite a while to get a working quorum together, and I appreciate the committee's recent work, but it took a while to come to these consensus positions. I think it would be beneficial, though, to allow us to gather some information on how much is harvested during that two-week period. I'd like to see staff report those landings as early as possible back to the Blue Crab Committee for review. The question I have is whether or not the 51-bushel limit is going to be appropriate. Ernie has told us today that the market is limiting. I would just like to see what landings are during that period, and perhaps next year, if it appears there's a lot of effort in that period, then maybe we would need to have a review the limit issue. But I think there would be some benefit to going ahead and allowing it to transpire this year and collect some information on.
Okay. Further comments? Matters before the commission for action. Mr. Bowden.
I move that we accept staff recommendations and amend the necessary regulations, because it's more than one. But I would like to see an opening date of March 17th.
St. Patrick's Day. For second. Second by Mr. Holland. Further discussion?
Mr. Chairman, I just have a question of clarification. Are you proposing to allow harvest to start on the 17th or setting gear?
Anybody harvesting on the 17th would probably be doing it in an illegal fashion. So that would be something law enforcement would have to
do. So your idea is that they would be setting on the 17th for harvesting on the 19th?
Legally, that's what they'd be allowed to do.
Okay. Thank you.
This is going to be pretty, from a law enforcement perspective, that's going to be pretty difficult to separate the wheat from the chaff.
But wouldn't any day would be the same thing? If it was Monday or Saturday or Wednesday, it would be the same thing?
I think what you do basically is you just initiate it on that day, and that way law enforcement doesn't have to differentiate between whether they're harvesting or whether they're setting. Just go ahead and start the date that day and let it go.
That's how the motion was made.
Okay. And seconded by Mr. Holland. All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you all very much.
Item 18, CalNOS Ray Infrastructure Assistance Program.